Welcome to Florida Uncut with Mason Gravely. I want to introduce this podcast. We've already aired one of them, and it's a terrific series that allows you to hear Florida voices that are shaping wild Florida. In this episode, which we are resharing, we are joined by Charles Hines, who knows a thing or two about trails. He's the Florida Gulf Coast Trail Program Director for Trust for Public Land, the former Sarasota County Commissioner. Listen to this podcast, and you'll learn a lot about what is going on in wild Florida.
Hey, folks, before we get into this episode, I wanted to give a couple updates, some context. I did this interview with Charles a while ago, earlier this year, and just trying to wait on the right moment. You know, life got busy, of course, and that's thankfully coming to an end so that I can, you know, get episodes right when we interview, get them out, you know, as the next episode. So we're getting to that point with the show. There's a lot of new episodes getting ready to come out and a lot of new guests, so very exciting. So Charles, thank you for your patience. And what's really exciting is they had some recent news in Sarasota County about this trail and some overpasses that were being built for this multi-use trail. So you're going to hear a little bit more about that, this entire project called the Florida Gulf Coast Trail, from Charles. But before we do, go back and listen to our last episode about the behind-the-scenes conversation around the Florida Wildlife Corridor Foundation's newest film, which is called Patchwork Wild. And its premiere is going to be September 18th. Go ahead and mark your calendars. Tickets will be available soon. But September 18th at the Tampa Theater in the evening, we're going to be doing a three-part screening of three different films, including ours. So it's going to be an amazing night of storytelling and a gathering of the Tampa area and surrounding area conservation community, all about the corridor, the Florida Wildlife Corridor. So mark your calendars. It's going to be incredible. I'll be there. Not doing a podcast, but I'll be there. So just wanted to put that on your radar now. Hey, folks, welcome to Florida Uncut, the podcast all about the people that are doing the work to protect and connect wild Florida. Today, we're going, no pun intended, off the beaten path a little bit to talk about the Florida Gulf Coast Trail with Charles Hines. Charles is the Florida Gulf Coast Trail Program Director for Trust for Public Land, who really have taken charge in making this 420-mile trail that spans seven counties. It's a multi-use trail hugging near the coast from Naples all the way up to Tampa. When it's totally built, it'll be one of the longest continuous trails in Florida. And why are we talking about this today? One, they recently had a huge milestone this week with a long-awaited overpass being built. But why are we even talking about trails in the first place? Well, if you go back in your mind to some of the most powerful, meaningful experiences that you've had in wild Florida, you most likely access them because of trails or because of roads, because of some sort of way to get you there. So trails, whether they're paved multi-use trails, rail trails, gravel trails, or just hiking paths, are one of the most powerful tools we have for connecting people to nature and fostering a lasting sense of place that plants the seeds or continues to water the seeds of stewardship. When people fall in love with the places they explore, they are far more likely to protect them. And that's why a healthy balance, connection of our urban and suburban to our rural trails, is so important. Giving people the infrastructure to have these experiences to develop a love for the place they are. So I'm really excited about this. It's a multi-year, honestly, most of a decade project that will be going on to see the completion. It's about half complete, as we're going to talk about. Charles is going to share with you how you can get involved and learn more about all the trails we have in Florida. So let's go ahead and dive in. Welcome, Charles Hines of the Florida Gulf Coast Trail Program Director, Trust for Public Land. How you doing?
Great. Awesome. Thanks good. For having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah. We've been talking about a lot of stuff already. Some of that, I'm like, that's the thing about podcasting. You're like, man, I need to press record. This is good stuff. This is great insight and kind of lessons. But anyway, thanks for coming up here and making the time. I really appreciate it.
No, it's really important. This trail is a regional trail from Tampa down to Naples. And it really needs to be promoted. And that's part of the thing that I'm trying to do, not just promotion, but get it connected so that we just don't have these short little isolated trails, you know, 3, 4, 10 miles that really aren't a regional impact. And so having shows like this creates knowledge and information and gets more people involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're all about getting the average Floridian kind of caught up to speed on what kind of things are in the works for protecting and connecting Wild Florida. But, you know, this is specifically connecting a trail that will eventually be what hopefully millions of people get to enjoy to experience Florida. Tell us about the trail. How long has this been in the works?
So Trust for Public Land is a national nonprofit. It's been around 50 years, actually 51, 50 years in Florida. And what our main focus and mission is to look for projects that connect people to the outdoors. And so whether it's a park or a trail, those are the types of things that we want to work on, because we just truly believe that the benefits of getting people to the outdoors are so important for so many reasons: health, physical and mental health. Then with trails and even parks, you improve communities. And so that's so important for our organization, and our donors all across the country have said, you know, go forth and do this work. And that's what I'm doing with TPL on this particular trail project. Well, we do trail projects all across the country, but this one's unique in that it's so big. It's 420 miles. It's a state recognized trail on a map, but it's not a trail yet. It's all really local trails going through 7 counties. And we're trying to link that up. Why this was of interest for TPL was, you know, we worked on the Pinellas Trail through some rail corridor acquisitions. That's one area of our expertise, is working with railroads. And it's a real estate deal, but it's a really complicated real estate deal when it comes to acquiring a rail corridor. And we had just finished a deal in Sarasota County to purchase a rail corridor in 2016, 2017. And when that was completed and the trail was opened in 2022, Trust for Public Land says, well, we're kind of coming in and coming out. We're coming in and we're coming out, meaning that there's no one every day working on the Florida Gulf Coast Trail. You know, there's nobody advocating for it. There's no one looking at it to work on kind of what we're doing now, to link up all of these local trails to create one massive regional trail. And they said, well, we want to do that. So that's why I am here today. Yeah. is to try to accomplish that, because it involves cities, counties, the state, the federal government, FDOT, Office of Greenways and Trails, plus the communities. You really need to work with the community to get them to believe that adding a trail in their neighborhood is a good thing. And that takes a lot of work. So you asked me what TPL really does, is we do trails as part of our projects all across the country: park acquisition, land preservation. So we work closely with cities, counties, states, federal government, looking for opportunities to assist them to protect land or create projects. And then one other thing that you and I were talking about is another area that is an incredible area of expertise is our conservation finance group that helps local government come up with local ballot measures to pass the ability to raise money for local governments to buy these properties. Yeah. And so we help counties and cities all across the country do this. And that's so important, so that local government has the funds to protect a piece of property.
Yeah.
Create a trail.
There's a few that always pass every election cycle. There's a few that's like, you know, on ballots around the state. But I think still less than half the counties have something like this. Are you seeing like an increase in that desire for that
Yeah, and then it comes in different ways.
Those kind of programs?
Yeah, because, you know, it's not just a general revenue thing. When you pass this ballot measure, it is specifically for environmentally sensitive lands or for parks. So it's how you word it. So you can't use it to pay for a library. Libraries are great.
Right.
But if local citizens say, we want this land protected or we want this park, then you have a funding source for it. And another funding source, as a lot of counties don't all have, is a sales tax, an extra sales tax on top of the state sales tax that would allow you to have an extra revenue source. So we'll work with them in that, because a lot of times you'll explain, we're going to charge this extra penny, but this penny is going to go to XYZ. And so if citizens know that, it's not just like a general revenue tax increase, which most people are against. But when you make it so specific, they go, oh, no, I want to do that.
Yeah. How often do people vote to be taxed more?
I know it. And that's what's amazing. You and I were talking, you know, this year, I think we did 28 across the country this year, ballot measures, and they all passed. Yeah. Oh, this passed, you know, November, and they all passed. And it wasn't, since they all passed, but it was neat to look and say, well, if it was a, you know, really blue county or a really red county, it didn't matter. They all passed.
Right.
And that was really good to see that, I guess everyone was kind of saying, well, you know, green isn't red or blue. You know, in a sense, it's not Republican or Democrat. People recognize there are some areas that need to be protected. And also, we would like some amenities like a trail. And it may be for safety reasons. I like to ride my bike, but I don't want to ride my bike along US 41. I'll get killed. I need a separated trail. And same thing, getting kids to school, economic redevelopment. When you bring in millions of riders and millions of people, you just look at Dunedin up on the Pinellas Trail. That's now part of their lifestyle. Of,
it's like a trail town.
It is a trail town. And there is a program in the state of Florida that recognizes trail towns, and Venice is getting its recognition here in a couple weeks in a summit, trail summit in Venice. But I think there's 12 to 15 trail towns across the state, but there's a criteria to it, and it's an area of pride for a community to say the state recognizes us, that we're open for people all across the country to come here and use our recreational trails that are safe, and there's things for them to do, restaurants, beaches, parks. So it's all comes together that way.
That's so neat. And you grew up in Venice.
Yes.
Let's talk about that. What do you remember fondly, maybe from an outdoor point of view, growing up in
all right,
that
well,
area?
Hopefully this podcast is local enough or that people listen to it, is when I was a kid, you know, had a little John boat, little 6-horse Evinrude, you know, wasn't old enough to drive. Obviously I was like 10 years old, but we could go anywhere with that thing. Right.
Yes.
And all my friends had them, and that's the way that we went around. So what I remember, and this is very relevant for today, is one of the best places to swim or fish or look for shells or shrimp was Midnight Pass in Sarasota. And unfortunately, I think it was the late 70s, early 80s, that pass got closed in. It was migrating north, and it was getting ready to take out a couple houses. So the people got a permit from Sarasota County to close it, but then they had to reopen it a little further south. They did that. They might have done it twice. It closed in, and everyone kind of threw their hands up and said, oh, well, just leave it alone. Well, it was, in my opinion, it was not good, because you didn't have enough flush from the Gulf and the bays. The bays got dirty. And so with Helene came first, she opened it up a little bit.
That's right. Yeah.
Milton blew it open, just blew it open. And it's about 100, I think it's like 100 feet wide, you know, 8 to 12 feet deep. And people are out there with their boats and just cheering it on. And hopefully we can find a way to keep it open this time.
Right.
Because, so that was a good memory. Wow. So it's going back to what we did as kids to where we are today.
No kidding. That's awesome. That's so neat. And now I know you went to the University of Florida. What brought you back home to this area? I mean, there's a big world out there.
You always wonder that when you're a kid, you know, it doesn't matter where you are. You're like, I got to get out of here. It's a terrible place to live and there's nothing to do. So yeah, I went to University of Florida, and what I started to see when I went from undergrad to law school is I still had a lot of friends. You know, they went to Atlanta, they went to Tampa, they went to New York, Chicago, and they were starting their careers. So it takes you 3 years to get through law school. And in those 3 years, I would travel to see my friends from undergrad. And after about 2 years in the hustle and bustle, they were starting to plan to come back to Florida. And so when I heard that, and I said, okay, where do I want to go back to? He looked around and said, you know, Venice is pretty good. I had a job opportunity as an attorney. And I said, I don't know there's a better place. And so it's kind of as simple as that. Yeah. And I'm still here.
Yeah.
And, I accept that this place, and I don't just mean Venice, but, you know, Southwest Florida where we live is really special.
Very special place. So it's a wonderful place to call home, and the secret's out. So a lot of people are wanting to move there.
Yeah. And that kind of, you know, that's right. And everyone says, well, we're growing. I believe we're better maybe than we've ever been. Now, with that said, there is a lot of people moving here, and it is having a lot of impacts. And so that's what's good about this show and everyone else that you've talked with on this is, you know, how do we protect what made Florida unique, and how do we improve on what we have? And from a trail perspective, it's really interesting to me is that many people that I talk to that come here from other areas ask, why don't we have a trail? I'm from Pennsylvania, and we have a trail that goes from Washington, D.C. to here. And I'm from New York, and we got this one. And I'm from Colorado, and we have this, you know, 80-mile, 100-mile trails. And I'm like, well, I need your help. And you're right. We are behind in our, what I'll say, public amenities. And, you know, trails, I don't know, were people's priorities 30, 40 years ago. It was going to the beach, fishing, playing golf. Now these activities like trails and what trails connect people to, other parks, other amenities, are starting to move up the chain on, up the ladder of priorities, and not just locally, but also at the state level.
Interesting. So how long has this idea for this trail been in place, or when did this project really get started?
I think the idea of this was probably 20 years ago. But from the state perspective, you need funding sources for this. So what's nice about that summit that I mentioned in Venice is this is the 10th anniversary of the state's Sun Trail program, where the state provides a funding source for trails like this. And that's so key, because especially if it's a rail corridor acquisition, it's expensive. It really is.
More so than shoulder of a highway.
Correct.
Yeah. And it, widening a road.
Yeah. And that, those are expensive too, but yeah, they're wrapped into an overall road project.
Yeah.
Where a rail corridor, you're buying the land and it's really just for a trail. Right. So that's the rail corridors are really good for trails. And, you know, because they're just truly, truly separated from traffic, the highways. And you usually have a lot of commercial development that occurred that backed up to these rail corridors that have kind of died over time because the rail stopped. So now what you're doing is seeing a revitalization of those buildings, like, you know, where the Wildlife Corridor Foundation is. They're finding a new unique use that the trail is part of that. So it's they're expensive. So having a designated funding source like the Sun Trail program that the state has created is very helpful, because it's very hard to do this on your own by local government. It really is.
Wow. So, you know, you being brought in as the program director. Maybe what makes this challenge unique to maybe other parts of your career? Because I know this is probably pretty daunting.
Well, a couple things makes it hard. One I already said is cost. All right. So you have to prioritize, you know, where does a trail sit in a priority of local government in a community? You know, we have a lot of things, affordable housing, you have red tide, you have hurricanes. So you only have so much money to do this. Now, this is an infrastructure project that does return value to the community. So what I'm alluding to there is part of the thing that I try to do, and one of the hardest things, is taking the time to advocate for trails and educate local government communities that this is something that is worth investing in. You know, how does it improve your economy? How does it improve property values? How does it improve your health? How does it improve safety? And a lot of times people hadn't thought about that. They just think it's a place for people to ride a bike. Well, that's part of it, but maybe it's a place to ride a bike to get to work. Maybe it's a place to ride a bike to get to school. Maybe it's a place to go for a walk that you're away from traffic. Maybe it's a way to get traffic off of the roads. So, and connect up parks or other public amenities. So I'm not saying it's the hardest thing. Well, I'm not saying it's hard. It is hard, but I don't know if that's the right word. To build consensus, a lot of times between multiple jurisdictions, a city, a county. Right now we're working on a deal down in Lee and Collier County for a rail acquisition. There's two counties and two cities, plus the state, plus the federal government. So you have to get everyone on the same page for one project. Where do we get the funding? How much are you going to put in? How much am I going to put in?
And there's all those negotiations between all those saying, you know, I'll do up to 10%.
Or correct.
I'll do up to a certain dollar amount. And then you got to run that math, and it's just then you're, wow.
It gets hard. But that's when you get to that ribbon cutting, you can really, really be proud of it. And so that one down there is complicated. In this area, you know, there's corridors that we're working on that are complicated too, because there's not always a rail corridor to acquire. Sometimes you have to try to work into an existing urban area. Where could you put a 12-foot wide trail? And you just don't necessarily always want to build right along US 41 or right along Manatee Avenue. And a lot of times you don't have the right of way to do that anyway. So where would be the better alignment? And that's another thing that I'm always trying to do, is where could we realign it where the community wants it and would benefit from it the most?
What's people's reaction when they hear that there might be a trail going near them, maybe behind their home or through their community? Is it usually positive, or is it all kind of depends?
I'll say it's always mixed. And usually if you've been in a community where there was a trail, oh, I want a trail.
Like, oh, I had one here.
I had one in Pennsylvania. Yeah. You know, I want that experience here. Bring it. Where people haven't had it, there's a fear of, oh, it'll decrease my property values, or, oh, it'll bring crime to my community. So what we have to do is, and a big part of what I'm involved with is community engagement. And those fears are real, but they're not necessarily supported by facts. So what you do is you have studies all across the country from trails that have existed, for 10, 20, 30 years. And you take a look at property values. You take a look at land use and how things changed in regards to economic development. You look at crime statistics, and you just have to be willing to be patient, because change a lot of times scares people. And I don't know if I want this trail behind me. It's going to ruin it. But what you actually see now is where these trails are going that I'm working on. If a development comes along, they build connections to the trail. and they will advertise.
Yeah,
they will advertise in their materials that, you know, direct connection to the Legacy Trail by in our community.
Oh, yeah.
So
and you're getting people who, you like you said, that's a lot of times the folks enjoying it or folks moving to these communities. And I just saw it just pass somewhere on Moccasin Wallow on my way here, and they were advertising proximity to the interstate. And so that would just be another one of their selling points is proximity to this trail. It's like it is helpful. It is a big deal. So that was where my mind went. It was like I felt like communities would want this as a feature of where they live.
Right. And so, you know, you mentioned that in Manatee County is growing so quickly and out east. However, it's got a great trail system on a map. Unfortunately, it doesn't have a lot on the ground. And so we are trying so hard to work with landowners, developers, private sector folks to start getting the trail on the ground before we lose opportunities because developments occurred. Most developers now are starting to recognize the value of trails and that they're an amenity that they can sell. So they're working with us. They're working with Manatee County, and Manatee County has done a great job in laying out a trail plan. Now it's time to go to work and let's start, you know, building it. Yeah. You know, Lakewood Ranch has done a good part. They built Bournside Road, and now we're going to go work from there and come up Dam Road and connect along to the various parks that are along there. But we got a lot to do. Got a lot to do.
Yeah, a lot to do. Wow. So of the 420 miles, what percentage of this trail plan, I don't know if it's complete or it's available now for riding.
About half. Yeah, okay. It's pretty good, but probably the longest one, longest segment. I need to go measure that, you know, figure that out. But it's probably 25 miles.
Wow.
But that's not enough for somebody to come down on as a tourist type of thing to say, I'm going to ride 25 miles. You know, if you're going to really have an economic benefit of tourism, you need the 50, 60, 70, 100 miles where you ride from Tampa to Sarasota and back, or Tampa to Naples, and then someone drives you in a car back. And you don't have to be a tourist. You know, you were telling me that you did an overnight trip down the Myakka River. You could do this type of trip on your bike and pick out areas that you want to stop for the weekend and stop and have dinner, or go to the beach, or go out and go to a park. So the trail alignment, that's what we're always trying to look at, is maybe we should move where the trail's going in some of these areas, or add another segment that would hook up these publicly owned spaces where you could kind of hop from state park to state park to state park in camp or glamp or whatever is important to you, or stay in the Ritz-Carlton and then get on your bike and keep going.
Yeah.
That's what's fun about it.
That's awesome. I've done thousands of miles of rail trails out west and or in the Midwest as well. And it is just such a different experience than obviously the interstate, but it's phenomenal. And I can't wait for the day that I can do that coast to coast, which they're working on, the Great American Rail Trail.
Yes.
And for Florida to have projects like that, it makes so much sense. Like you said, it revitalizes these areas that are really quiet and off the beaten path and very nice to visit. But what we talk about a lot on this show is the connection of green space through what's called the Florida Wildlife Corridor. However, the only reason people give a crap about the outdoors is because they visited it. And the only way they visited it, there was some sort of infrastructure to go see it, whether that be a road or a trail or something that allowed them to experience it, to fall in love with it, and then want to protect it. How does the relationship between trails, and I'll say trails like this one, and the Florida Wildlife Corridor work in your mind?
Well, it goes exactly to what you're saying. And so our motto, I think I said this earlier, was, you know, connecting people to the outdoors. And the only way that you can respect and want to protect and enjoy it is to get into the outdoors. And a lot of people that live in urban areas, just have never had that opportunity. And so a trail can be part of that. And so the wildlife corridor and what we're working on can go hand in hand, in that a trail itself would not necessarily impact nature so much, because you're really just looking at a 12-foot wide, you know, trail, and it would give people the ability to get out into nature, clear your brain, clear your mind. You know, that is the, you know, the one thing, not one thing, but many things that came out of COVID was we recognized that locking people in their homes was not good for people's mental or physical health. And so having access to open space is so important. And so luckily in Sarasota County, we never closed during COVID. We did not close any of our parks. We recognize that. So people could still go out, get into nature, breathe some fresh, clean air. And so we want to keep working on that and provide trails and parks that allow people to, as I say, connect to the outdoors because of all the benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. So say this thing gets completed. When it gets completed, I know you're going to make it happen, but let's fast forward to that day. Do you see this tying into other trail systems that are in the works or already complete? Like how do you envision it connecting?
Yeah, and that was great. That's why I was kind of laughing. I wasn't laughing that if it gets completed, but it may be a little while. But so the state of Florida ranks its trail priorities. And the one that was the number one priority was the Coast to Coast Trail, basically North Pasco County over to Titusville. And that's pretty much done. I mean, it's 98% done. To be one of these types of trails, a state designated trail on the Florida Greenways and Trail System, the Sun Trail requires that it be separated from roads, paved, and the minimum 12 feet wide. That's it. Now, there's some exceptions where feasibility wouldn't allow it to be 12 feet wide. You can imagine building in downtown St. Pete. But for the most part, you know, that's it. Yeah. And so, the Coast to Coast Trails, I'm just going to say it's done. You also have a trail that goes on the east coast of Florida, trying to go from Jacksonville all down to Key West. Then if we get this one, all right, when we get this one, then there's folks that have looked and envisioned, then you can take it across from Naples to Miami. And then also there's one that's being studied right now from Naples up to Polk County. So, yeah, so the state has
separated from the road.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So the state has a great trail system plan. But I'm impatient. I want to use it now. So how do we bring these benefits to Southwest Florida now? And so working with local government, I can only advocate. I don't vote anymore, but I would like, our local officials to kind of, you know, get that passion and pick up that football and move it forward, because there are projects that, are underway, and there's some that are planned that could get underway if we had funding. And every time you do a 3 or 4 piece little segment that suddenly connects up 2 existing segments, now you take 2 15-mile trails with a 5-mile trail in the middle. Now you got a nice big long trail that connects maybe an entire county.
To get this idea, you know, across to Floridians and to be something that people work for and advocate for, you know, it takes people being familiar with it, which takes people visiting it in some capacity. And obviously state parks are a great way to do that. The ones within the corridor, places that are, you know, natural spaces in the corridor, but another great infrastructure are trails themselves.
Well, one thing that I've seen that's, you know, everyone, again, it's not just for that guy on a $10,000 bike that rides, you know, 30 miles an hour, is what we've seen in areas where there was a park or maybe, you know, excess land or surplus land that the county or city may own that they didn't know what they're going to do with it. Then the trail comes in there and connects up thousands of residents that are, let's say, a half mile walk, quarter mile walk. So in the past, it was an old abandoned railroad that nobody really would use. Now you can take your grandchild in a stroller and take them down to the park. And so I'm Sarasota County, for example, built two brand new parks right next to the trail on land that they were going to sell because they didn't know what to do with it. And when the trail came through, it's like, wait a minute, now all these neighborhoods have access to this. And so that's a very, very positive outcome of having a trail come through is the other things that can be connected and give access to. And so that one is, you know, again, that area is still pretty open.
Yeah.
Okay. Hendry County and the different areas down there. And even that eastern part of Collier County is, so that would be a different experience than, let's say, the Florida Gulf Coast Trail, because most of ours still is going to go through urban areas. But within those urban areas, it connects up to state parks. So like the Oscar Scheer Park, the trail goes right through the middle of the park. And so it's a great place to go and stop and camp. And it'll reach up here to, you know, Lake Manatee and different areas. And so people are starting to think, oh, wow, we could start using this. Yeah. So Manatee, I know we're here, we're in Bradenton right now, but the eastern side of Manatee really has a lot of potential to hook up high density development, let's say like Lakewood Ranch, but to areas that are protected and are state parks or county parks. And that's a nice day. Go for a bike ride. That's a nice half day.
It connects these people that might not be familiar with Wild Florida to Wild Florida. They might not even realize some of this is in their backyard. And, you know, we get a lot of obviously very passionate Floridians that are anti-transplants, but, you know, you can't close the door behind you. And I'm like, hey, you know, if you're here, I want to show you this place I love, and I want you to experience it, fall in love with it, just like I am and many of us are. And advocate for it, advocate for what's left of it. And but it takes experiencing it first.
Yeah, and then going back to what, you know, one of the things is it's just funding. I think with whether it's a wildlife corridor or a trail or anything like that, having people that move here and say, I love this place, I want to protect it, how can I do it? And it's supporting those types of ballot measures that seek to have funding sources. It's also working with your state representatives to fund things like the Sun Trail, put funding into the wildlife corridor to purchase properties, and having it coordinated so that, you know, what's so important about the corridor is it's a corridor. It's not just isolated pockets of protected, you know, land. So what now flip over to us and what we're doing is we have these parks that are there, but are not highly used. Well, it's because they're not connected to anything. And so running a trail through there and connecting up a, you know, planned unit development that has 6,000 homes to a park, now all of a sudden that park gets use. And it's good. It's positive.
That's awesome. Well, tell me a little bit about, you know, this sounds really complex. You've got a background that's you know, you're educated, you've been a commissioner, you've got this expertise. It sounds daunting of a task to get this done, but what could an average person do? Is it voting? Is it writing into their local officials and saying, hey, I support this? Like what could a person within a community around here say, you know, I want to help in some way?
So thanks for that, you know, lead in, because that's so important. What can they do? There's a lot of things. One, usually, I mean, I'm one voice, you know, TPL is an organization, so I can speak, but I'm not a constituent in Manatee County. So normally what happens if there's a particular segment or part of the trail that's important, normally a local friends group will evolve, like a nonprofit that is supporting building or purchasing a particular segment of the trail. So that's what happened in Sarasota. It's called the Friends of the Legacy Trail. Legacy Trail is part of the Florida Gulf Coast Trail, but it was made up of Sarasota County residents that told their county commission, we want this done. So that's one thing, you know, get involved. Most every community has a cycling club, and that's the natural place where this would, these types of nonprofit groups would be born out of, to work with us at Trust for Public Land to say, I want to see this particular segment done now. Okay, so help me. Because same thing with county commissioners or city officials. One voice really isn't enough. You need consensus in the community that say, prioritize this. And usually you need to do that through a much larger organization, a friends group that does it. It's an advocacy group. I'll plug TPL. Go to tpl.org and look at the Florida Gulf Coast Trail and donate to TPLs and support our work, you know, but that also works at the state level, with your state representatives, that do not cut funding to their SunTrail program, actually add to it and advocate up to that way. And, that's how local things, I mean, that's how things get done in politics is, you know, who's pushing an agenda that kind of sounds negative, but it's a positive agenda when it's like this. So they just need to be involved. And I'm happy to help anybody that says, well, look, you know, how do I do this? We did this down in Lee County and Collier County, and their nonprofit group is called Friends of BERT. BERT's a Bonita Estero Rail Trail. And they have like 3,500 members, and they just started a couple of years ago. And they have endorsements from, I don't know how many HOAs, but it represents 25,000 households when you include all the HOAs. So when they show up at a meeting, you don't need to bring 100 people with you, but your elected officials realize that, oh, they really represent a lot of people, and those are my voters. Yeah. And you know, you just need to advocate.
Well, let me ask you this. As a former politician, you were Sarasota County Commissioner, Chairman twice. What were some of the most, and this is just generally speaking, what were some of the most effective and collaborative ways people would get involved with what you're doing? I'm sure you had a lot that weren't that way or would come in and yell at you for their 3 minutes and then leave and you never see them again until something else come up. But as a commissioner, what was like a very refreshing / effective way to work with you?
This is overused. That's a great question. Everybody says that these days.
I hear it a lot.
Yeah, I know.
No.
But I talk to people and myself and some other folks through the Gulf Coast Community Foundation actually put on a seminar with, I don't know, 30, 40 nonprofits to try to show what's the best way to advocate. So what I would say is one, you know, be passionate about your subject, know your subject, have facts and statistics to back up what you're looking for, have skin in the game, maybe have some of your own money in the game. Because when you go to a local official and say, well, I want you to buy this park. Okay. But when you go to them and say, well, our friends group has $100,000 raised that we'll put toward the purchase. That's impressive.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's 50,000 or 100,000, doesn't matter. You've gone out and you've done something. But here's the most important thing that was to me the most influential on me was when you looked out in the audience and there was, you know, I don't want to divide people, but a developer and environmentalist, a Republican and a Democrat, people that you would say, oh, these guys are always on the opposite side. When they were standing together on a particular subject and said, we all agree on this, we would like you to do it, you can't say no. And you see that sometimes, and you see that in a lot with this trail work, is no matter which angle you come at trails, safety, health, economic redevelopment, land conservation, any of those, they all meet somebody's, you know, goal. And so it's, I might say, well, I don't care about protecting land. What I care about is I have a building, a warehouse building that's sitting empty that nobody goes by it. If we have a trail there, there'll be hundreds of thousands of people going by there. And next thing I know, it'll be a gym. Great. Okay. That's an economic way to look at it. Another way is if we have this trail and people have the ability to get to work on a trail, that takes a car off the road. That takes greenhouse, you know, emissions type of things off the road. So trails are not easy, but it's easy to build a coalition if you educate people that it meets what's important to them. Then you can buy into it. And then you have people that normally don't stand with each other, say a developer and environmentalist, standing next to each other saying, I want this. And that's what I'm seeing right now. And that's the community involvement that we're trying to build, those consensus, so that when you do go to elected officials, there's no place to run to because everyone's saying there, we want it. And we're willing to put our own money into it. That's a big deal.
What was
there's the game plan.
I love it. Well, let me ask this, and then we can get going. I always ask all my guests two questions at the end, and that is, you know, I know we've been talking a lot about not necessarily wild Florida, but the ability to experience more of Florida in this place. What gives you the most hope for the future of wild Florida and of the Florida you know and love?
Well, I think it's kind of what we're talking about is people are realizing that regulation and laws can be changed and they can be politically influenced to be changed. So the way you protect this wild Florida is we buy it, we own it. And again, that's money, but that's the way that we got. That's, I think, is the quickest, best way to do it. Yeah. Regulations, you'd have seen too many things get changed. You have development orders or zonings and different things and they get changed. The other thing too is, and it goes back to what I was saying before, is to show that, one, introduce people to the outdoors and they'll fall in love it and they'll want to protect it. But then also be able to say to people that are mostly business people, that there is an economic benefit to protecting this. And I'll equate it to the water. If we kill the golden goose, which is our bays and our Gulf, no one will move here. Your restaurant will go out of business. Your hotel will go out of business. You won't be able to sell a house. So you got to protect the water. And we saw that so much with the red tide types of things and, you know, sewage runoff and trying to protect it. You saw it here at Piney Point. We got to protect it. That's the water. Same thing goes to, you know, the rivers and the open space, the oak trees, the pines. So, you know, those upland watersheds are so important to protect. So if people that want to develop Florida see that there's an economic benefit to protect areas and to develop in a certain way that protects areas that abut their developments, then they'll buy in. And that's been the buy-in with the trails. And I also saw it with water quality. When hotels, restaurants, anyone that had an economic benefit from the water, with those bad red tides that we had, I'm going to say 2017, 18, maybe it's, you know, we had one that lasted 6-8 months. It was terrible. They said, we got to do something. And it wasn't just someone that was trying to protect a snail darter, right? It was everyone in the community said, we all lose if we don't protect it. And my same feeling is that way for the open space in Florida.
Wow. Last question for you. And, you know, you don't have to reveal the exact location if you don't want to, but what place in Florida is special to you? Maybe just stands out a little bit. Could be a region, maybe a type of place. Some people have said, you know, it's my favorite fishing hole, but I'm not about to tell you where that is. anywhere that's just special.
Well, real quick, I'll give you two. One, okay. I went to University of Florida, so Itchinetuckney Springs and floating down that river on a hot August or September day is always special. So I'm glad to see that protecting our North Florida springs is getting a lot more attention. And then I'll even add to in there what you and I were talking about in your trip or down the Myakka River, having grown up in here. My parents moved here in the mid-50s and bought about 5 acres right on the Myakka River. And so that river, being a state wild and scenic river, has always had a special place for me. And so the trail is now going to go down River Road, which is right against Myakka River. So when that section is complete next year, you can go to Old Florida and see Snook Haven. You can go to the Jelks Preserve, Bob Johnson's Landing, Sleeping Turtles, all within a few miles of each other that you can either walk to, bike to, or canoe to. And so just that little area is so unique. And as you experienced it, you get out there and you're really not that far from development, but you really feel like, where am I? Am I in Africa? Where is this? So, and a lot of people don't do those canoe trips, but they maybe should. So I'll say the Myakka River on that one.
That's awesome. Sweet. Well, thank you so much. I can hear the passion in your voice, and this is a big task. I had a friend bike from the Green Swamp down to Siesta Key yesterday, and he's like, any advice? I said, just stay off 41. That was my only, that was my only recommendation. And he made it, thankfully, 140 miles.
Well, see, and that's what would be nice about this is if you have a separated trail and you have overpasses on these very busy roads, then this type of use and that what your friend did becomes a lot more safe and a lot more fun.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks
so much.
Thanks for having me. It was a good time.
There you have it, folks. Be sure to go check out the trail. I've included some links in the show notes for you to look at what's done, where you can maybe check it out, and some of the other trails that are being worked on in the state. So enjoy, and we'll talk to you soon.